Here when the other guys are gone.
The following interviews and commentaries are for entertainment only. The views and opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
It's time again for Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio with the latest news and conversation related to firearms and your Second Amendment rights. Sponsored by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. And now, Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio.
Welcome, listeners. This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in throughout the hour to join us, 458-8255. 458 Talk, what is on your mind about firearms today? It's another great and beautiful day in Fairbanks. The sun is bright. I'm loving it. The temperature is 55 degrees this morning. And here at the KFAR broadcasting station, Melissa is expertly running the board. Thank you, Melissa. And she is keeping the archives up to date for us. So if you miss a program, it should be accessible in the archives within a day or so. And I really appreciate that, too. So what's on our agenda today? I will talk briefly about today's holiday. After that, I'll share what I'm doing to the magazines for my Steel Challenge gun, the Ruger Mark IV 2245 Lite, to help make sure I don't have malfunctions. And then I do want to dig back into Dr. Gav Schneider's book, Can I See Your Hands? A Guide to Situational Awareness, Personal Risk Management, Resilience, and Security. We should finish Chapter 2 today and move into Chapter 3 about applied awareness. I will also pull information from one of Gavin De Becker's books, Just 2 Seconds. That's the title, Just 2 Seconds. That has to do with why we need to physically take care of ourselves, watch our nutrition, as all this plays into our ability to be aware and protect ourselves. That might be new information for some of us. On August 25th, I will start sharing stories from the book, The Road to Victory, the untold story of World War II's Red Ball Express. So please put that on your calendar. I noticed the gun cases and the rifle racks in the gun stores are full of guns and rifles. And I will be talking with a couple of these stores to see if I can spend some time, at least dry working with some of these new guns to share my impressions with all of you. This is something I had hoped to do when I started on Shooter's Corner, but then the great gun shortage happened, so I was never able to do it. I have an update on Chuck Indurain's classes. He's holding another Defensive Handgun 1 class on August 13 and 14, outdoors at the Fox Range, $350, and he can source ammunition for you if you need it for that class. Chuck only has 2 spots left open in that class, so if you're thinking about this, grab those spots, because it is nice to be able to do this class outdoors when it's warm out. His next Alaska Concealed Handgun Permit class is scheduled for September 24 and 25. Go to My Legal Heat and choose Alaska Fairbanks. Chuck teaches all of those local classes here. Chuck's defensive shotgun class is scheduled for October 8 and 9. That's another great class. So you can call Chuck at 844-966-4079 or go to his website, c4traininggroup.com. Today is August 4th. National Chocolate Chip Cookie Day, not to be confused with National Chocolate Chip Day, sans the cookie, which is on May 15th of a year. Now, this chocolate chip and chocolate chip cookie business is somewhat confusing and has nothing to do with firearms, so I will go over it briefly. That might just make you the smartest person at the dinner table tonight. But my point at the end isn't about the chocolate, but about concentration when shooting. And I've told part of this story before, but it bears repeating. So in 1930, Kenneth and Ruth Wakefield purchased a Cape Cod-style building in Massachusetts, and they repurposed it for a lodge, and they called it the Toll House Inn. And Ruth Wakefield baked for guests who stayed at the Toll House Inn and improved upon the traditional colonial recipes of that Massachusetts area. And her desserts started to become sought after. So while preparing a batch of Better Drop cookies, Ruth cut a bar of Nestle semi-sweet chocolate into tiny bits. And she added them to her dough, and she expected them to melt, but they didn't. They kept their shape. And this accidental creation became very popular at the inn. Ruth Wakefield published the recipe in several newspapers in Boston and the New England area. And guess what? Regional sales of Nestle semi-sweet chocolate bars skyrocketed. Now, those cookies were created by Ruth in 1937. Nestle didn't invent what we know as chocolate chips until either 1939 or 1941. I read both of those dates. So between the time Ruth Wakefield invented the chocolate chip cookie and Nestle began selling actual chocolate chips, Nestle sold their chocolate bars with a special tool for people to make their own chips out of the bar. So I'm not sure our industrious baker, Ruth Graves Wakefield, made such a great deal with Nestle. She sold her Toll House chocolate chip cookie recipe to Nestle for $1 and a lifetime supply of chocolate. And just think, that Toll House chocolate chip cookie recipe is still, to this day, on the back of the Nestle chocolate chip packages. Now, to my chocolate chip cookie shooting story. As some of you have heard this story before, and there is some Joe Nava wisdom in this, when I was teaching my youth shooting program, once a year I would go up and down the row of firing points and look at the targets and ask each young rifle student what they were thinking about when they shot that target. And I got answers like breath control, trigger finger control, not moving my front sight, or not moving the crosshairs, or making sure I do follow through. The kids who said those things, they all had excellent targets. They were the kids who understood and practiced the fundamentals of shooting. Those kids had harnessed the power of concentration during their shot process. And some of the things that the other kids would say over the years about what they were thinking about as they took a shot were ice cream, or my dad is taking me out to dinner after class, or we're having a social at church, and everything else from that they were hungry to something about their pet to being tired. Being tired was a big one. These kids that said these things would not have good targets. Their shots would be all over the target and inconsistent. And one year, a kid told me he was thinking about chocolate chip cookies. And I said, well, look at the holes in your target. They look like chocolate chips in a cookie to me because those shots are spread all over the place. And my point with this exercise with the kids came from a lesson I learned from Joe Nava, and which I've shared with students ever since and on this program. At one point, my shooting was not improving, and I would periodically ask Joe for his suggestions how I could improve. And he would always smile and say, think the best thoughts. Think the best thoughts. But he never told me what the best thoughts were. It was like a game. He wanted me to figure it out. And I thought of all sorts of happy things, the best thoughts, right? Happy things while I was shooting. But I never did improve much beyond a certain point. And finally, out of frustration, I asked Joe to tell me exactly what he was thinking while he was shooting. I figured he had to have some kind of mantra, some special words he was thinking. And he said, quote, only the best thoughts, which were, again, to quote Joe, only my trigger finger can move. My front sights must not move. Only think about what it takes for you to make the perfect shot. Those are the best thoughts, unquote. So I got to thinking about this. Shooting is very much in our brains. It takes concentration. And getting back to my students, I would ask, how many of you can think of two things at once? And maybe one kid, a young kid, would raise his hands. But almost all the kids, and of course all adults I'd ask that in class to, they realize they cannot process two thoughts at once. And that's the trick. That was Joe Nava's point. Only concentrate on the best thoughts, which are the steps it takes you to make the perfect shot. Nothing else can be in your head, only what it takes for you to make that perfect shot. Try it. It works. Your target will not look like a chocolate chip cookie. We're going to go to break, go munch on some cookies, and we'll be back soon.
Out in Arizona where the bad men are, the only thing to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, toughest man by far was Ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they say he sings a herd to sleep. In a bass voice rich and deep, crooning soft and low. He always sings raggedy music to the cattle as he swings.
Hunters, roll out to your secret spot with confidence this season. Have your magic carpet to the Alaskan Dream serviced by Arctic RV. Alaska plays rough with motorhomes, toy haulers, campers, bodywork, and appliances. Arctic RV goes through the nitty-gritty so you won't have to. Wheel bearings to wiring and lights. See their huge selection of RV parts as well. While you're out begging that bull, beg yourself a good night's sleep with help from Arctic RV. Book your appointment now. Arctic RV. Rough it in style.
Spring is springing, and that means it's topper time. Get your truck ready for your crazy Alaskan adventures with a new Lear or ARE topper from Auto Trim Design. You can get cab high, high-rise, mid-rise, commercial, aluminum, or fiberglass. Want a tonneau cover? We have fiberglass, fabric, and aluminum. We have them in roll-up or fold-up in three-fold or four-fold. Just don't delay and see us today at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
And don't forget, as we always say, we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Fish on! It's the Valdez Fishing Report, brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Visit Frontier's extensive fishing department for conventional fly and saltwater tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Your store for the outdoors, Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
I think I was first to catch fish, and then my son-in-law was second, and my daughter was third, and my wife was fourth, and we just took turns going around catching them. I believe that, if I remember right, that 11.28-pound salmon, that was the very first fish of the day.
I was going to say, so it was, this is James Hickson of Fayetteville, North Carolina, and it sounds like it was completely random that you were the one who caught the 11.28-pounder. Did you decide ahead of time who would?
If it had been somebody else's turn, they would have been the one that got it.
Yeah. How did you determine who would be 1, 2, 3, 4? It's just whoever was closest?
I think so. Whoever was closest. Somebody said there's a salmon on, and they pointed me and said, get it. And so I got it. And that's the way it worked. It was nobody was trying to outdo each other, or nobody was trying, you know. It was just a family day out, enjoying the day, and we really had a good time, really had a great time.
And, James, what do you think about scenery out there?
Oh, my gosh. I absolutely love it. This state is absolutely breathtaking. It is. I can't really express it.
The Fairbanks Prospector has all the clothing, footwear, and camping supplies, but our Valdez store has all the tackle you need to catch your derby winner. Bait, rods, reels, coolers, licenses, and derby tickets, and all at competitive prices. We thank you for making the trip down the Richardson. When you fish Valdez, you shop at the Valdez Prospector.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
Frontier Outfitters brings you the Valdez Fishing Report, helping you make your next fishing adventure a success. Rods to tackle, coolers to camping gear. It's your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
KFAR weather.
Chance for isolated thunderstorms today. Otherwise, a mix of clouds and sun. Highs level off around 76. Easterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely. 53. Overcast skies again tomorrow. Isolated rain showers likely. Highs around 60. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in 458-8255, 458-TALK, and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. I mentioned 2 weeks ago that I was in the process of working on two guns for Steel Challenge events, as well as Glenn Miller's new Miller Action Shooting events starting in October. And I will have a kid-barreled action rifle chambered in .22 with a Weiland chassis. And more on this when I start putting it together. The kid has arrived, but it might be a month or so before I receive the Weiland chassis. For the .22 pistol, I'll be using a Ruger Mark IV 22-45 Light that I had purchased a couple years ago for my youth shooting program, and I'm adding a forward thumb rest and replacing the safety lever with one that also acts as a rear thumb rest, and I'm adding an extended slide stop and an extended magazine release. And I might change out the trigger later, not right now, but maybe later, as I normally like the straight triggers better. And I purchased all of these modifications at tandemcross.com. It's TANDEMKROSS. And my gun already has a Bolkhorsten bolt that was put on for the youth shooting program. I like the large knob on the end of that bolt, as it makes it easy for the youth and me to pull the bolt back and not cut ourselves if it slams forward. Tandem Cross makes its own solution. They call it a halo charging ring, and it's made from a lightweight aircraft grade aluminum, and it fastens to the back of the factory of the Ruger factory bolt. And those Ruger bolt ears don't have much to grab onto. So the ring-shaped halo charging ring, like the knob at the rear of the Bolkhorsten bolt I have, that charging ring allows you to more quickly charge the gun with less effort and not take a chance on cutting your hand. And these are great aids for youth and for those of us with weakening grip as we age. It's easier to pull the bolt back and, like I said, less chance of cutting your hand on those sharp factory edges of the bolt ears. Now, Glenn Miller is advising me on how to get my gun upgraded so I get going quickly and I don't make mistakes. And I'm trying to start out with a gun I'll be happy with in the first place. I will need a minimum of 5 of the Ruger 22-45 magazines and a few extra, just because you always need extra. And Glenn showed me his magazines, and he put quite a bit of work into them, smoothing them so the follower works like moving through better. And the 2 magazines my gun originally came with and 2 more that I purchased at the time a couple years ago, they need some work to perfect themselves, for me to perfect them, but they are nothing like the 6 new ones I purchased the other day. Those new ones feel like they're filled with sand as I move the follower up and down. Just gritty and poorly finished surfaces. You don't want failure to feed problems. So if you want to compete, you have to work on the magazines so they feed perfectly. Now, a lot of times we complain, and I'm guilty of this, that our .22 ammo is not up to par, or it's not the right stuff, my gun doesn't like it, this is cheap stuff, it's giving us problems. You know, it might be the problem isn't the .22 ammunition. It might be that the problem is with the magazines. And maybe if we polish up those magazines, our .22 ammunition will feed more reliably. Now, like I said, you can't afford to lose time correcting failure to feed situations. Whatever model semi you have, take a good look at the magazines. So I wanted to take this time to point out an excellent video that walks you step by step through the process and makes it clear what you need to do to accomplish the task to polish up your magazines. And you can find this video on YouTube or at the Tandem Cross website. It's produced by Tandem Cross, and I purchased my magazines from Alaska Ammo because I like to purchase as much gear as possible from local stores. But parts for my gun that I could not get locally, I did purchase from Tandem Cross. Now, the title you should put into YouTube for a search is Ruger Mark III 22-45 Magazine Tuning Tips and Tricks tandem cross. And it says Ruger Mark III, but the magazines are the same for the Mark III or the Mark IV. Or better yet, just go to the Tandem Cross website. Again, it's T-A-N-D-E-M Cross with K-R-O-S-S, their website, and search again for Ruger 22/45, and a page will come up with all the 22/45 accessories, and scroll down to where it says Factory Magazines, and when that Factory Magazines page comes up, scroll down again, and you'll find the same video titled Ruger Mark III 22/45 Magazine Tuning Tricks. So working on these magazines is going to take me some time, and I will report back to you when I get them perfect and let you know how well they do. Now I'm going to move on into Dr. Gav Schneider's book, Can I See Your Hands? A Guide to Situational Awareness, Personal Risk Management, Resilience, and Security. We almost finished Chapter 2 on July 22nd, so I have a few tidbits from that chapter to relay, and then we'll move right into Chapter 3, Applied Awareness. And I won't spend time with a recap other than to remind us of the concepts we left off talking about. So we were covering Dr. Schneider's 5 concepts of real-world violence, and those 5 concepts are no rules, multiple attackers, weaponry, grappling, and mobility for survival. On July 22nd, we finished Concept 3, discussing weaponry. And that show is in the archives, thanks to Melissa. So if you missed it, go to the archives and listen. So let's move on to Concept 4 of real-world violence, grappling and ground-fighting reality. Now, Dr. Schneider points out, we see this with MMA, mixed martial arts, that, quote, the majority of fight situations end up at close range and very often end up going to the ground. This is simply a reality we must accept and become comfortable with, unquote. Now, we need to build into our mindset on being attacked that it is possible we could end up on the ground, and we need to know how to maneuver for an effective position. And of course, that means more training for some of us, including me. An effective position, according to Dr. Schneider, means we need to learn how to cause damage to the attacker and to get ourselves back on our feet to run away. Quote, the concept of grappling from a self-defense or personal safety perspective relates to the reality that a large number of violent interactions end up taking place at an exceptionally close range and, in many cases, in fact, the majority of cases, end up on the ground, unquote. There are a number of reasons we end up on the ground, and they have to do with the surroundings in which we could be attacked. However, there is another reason, and Dr. Schneider talks about it in more depth later in the book, and that is based on our adrenal system. So here's another quote. Inevitably, because of adrenal distortion factors, including the loss of spatial perspective, we very often are so disoriented that we grab hold of the attacker, whereupon the attacker very often grabs us, or vice versa, back and back, and we both go down to the ground. In addition, because of a tactical disorientation, when we're not too sure from where the attacks are coming from exactly or what is happening, very often we actually end up tripping or falling as we try to run away in order to escape a potential attack situation, unquote. So maybe some of you have had training for this situation. Dr. Schneider writes that the longer we're on the ground, the more potential for danger to be inflicted upon us, especially if there are multiple attackers who are armed and who are not fighting with rules. Now, over the past few years on the news or YouTube videos, there have been attacks caught by security cameras of innocent people attacked from behind and thrown to the ground. One I'm especially thinking of was a lady who was thrown down a flight of stairs in a subway. And this was just on the news a couple weeks ago. If you watch these, you'll see that the victim who is thrown to the ground is completely disoriented for some time. They cannot immediately react, and that gives the attackers enough time to do more damage. Now, the last And fifth concept in real world violence is mobility is vital to survival. And Dr. Schneider writes, quote, "The concept of mobility is also critical to understanding basic self-protection. If I am on the ground, I can't run, I can't escape, and I can't find tools in my environment to defend myself with, which makes me a much easier target to overcome," unquote. Now, ground fighting is not a skill most of us will ever learn, so the takeaway here is not to end up on the ground in the first place. And according to Dr. Schneider, the reason we end up on the ground is, first, because there are usually multiple attackers. Second, because the attackers are likely to be armed. Third, because there are no rules. And fourth, because you are very often taken by surprise when you are attacked. We're going to go to our half-hour break, and stay with us around the corner.
KFAR Radio online
at kfarradio.com.
Fox News, I'm Steve Rappaport. A judge in Russia sentencing WNBA star Brittany Griner to 9 years in prison for drug possession and smuggling. Her attorney, Maria Blagovalina.
She's very obsessed, very upset, very stressed, and she is, well, she can hardly talk, honestly, so it's difficult time for her.
President Biden says the sentence is unacceptable and called on Russia to release Griner immediately. Under Russian law, Griner has 10 days to appeal. The federal government reportedly planning to declare a public health emergency in response to the outbreak of monkeypox.
California and Illinois have joined New York in declaring states of emergency in hopes of speeding distribution of limited supplies of monkeypox vaccine. Smallpox shots also offer protection, but have not been in wide use for 50 years.
Fox's Jonathan Seri. America is listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
KQUU reports connecting to the internet in rural Alaska is difficult, but that's slowly changing as more telecommunication companies invest in infrastructure for higher speed connections. The Aleutian Islands are the latest region of the state that will soon receive faster internet through GCI's AU Aleutians Fiber Project. In July, a cable ship left on Alaska, and GCI said it will lay 800 miles of special subsea fiber from Kodiak to the south side of the Alaska Peninsula, connecting the Aleutians and Unalaska. The Aleutians are a great example of what we have been serving with satellite connectivity and the internet, and wireless is not what we hope it can be, GCI spokesperson Heather Handyside said. The project cost $58 million, $25 million, which was awarded through a grant from the U.S. Department of Agriculture's Reconnect program, and GCI is investing the remaining $33 million. The telecommunications company said it hopes to have 2 gig internet speeds to Unalaska by the end of the year. Unalaska City Manager Chris Hladek said this is going to be transformative for the community, not only from the citizens' point of view, but also for the seafood companies, for business, for
streaming
everything.
Live online at KFAR660.com.
When you go so far up that river that you need an airboat, that is very far. You've got to make sure that airboat is in perfect working order before you leave. 100%. You know what I mean? Call Rogers Auto Repair. They know airboat maintenance because they've been using and maintaining airboats for decades. Rogers will put your airboat in top shape before you disappear up your favorite skinny little creek in Alaska's wilderness. Give them a call. Rogers Auto Repair. Call 479-6665.
Hunters, roll out to your secret spot with confidence this season. Have your magic carpet to the Alaskan dream serviced by Arctic RV. Alaska plays rough with motorhomes and toy haulers, campers, bodywork, and appliances. Arctic RV goes through the nitty-gritty so you won't have to. Wheel bearings to wiring and lights. See their huge selection of RV parts as well. While you're out begging that bull, beg yourself a good night's sleep with help from Arctic RV. Book your appointment now. Arctic RV. Rough it in style.
Spring is springing, and that means it's topper time. Get your truck ready for your crazy Alaskan adventures with a new Lear or ARE topper from Auto Trim Design. You can get cab high, high rise, mid rise, commercial, aluminum, or fiberglass. Want a tonneau cover? We have fiberglass, fabric, and aluminum. We have them in roll up or fold up in threefold or fourfold. Just don't delay and see us today at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
And don't forget, as we always say, we will be here when the other guys are gone.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in 458-8255-458-TALK. What is on your mind about firearms today? So we left off talking about the reasons why we end up on the ground. And let's just look at it this way. Avoid the attack in the first place. And if you can't, avoid the situation of being thrown to the ground. And now we have a new sidebar to discuss. Quote, if you have to fight and have no choice, remember the ICE principle, I-C-E. And this is Gavin DeBeckers. ICE, I for intercept the attack, C for control the attack situation, and E, escape as soon as it is safe to do so, unquote. So intercept the attack, control the attack situation, and escape as soon as it's safe to do so. Look for a way to stay on your feet because you can't run away if you're on the ground. So to end this chapter on violence and attack, in his section titled Violent Attack Dissected, Dr. Schneider provides a summary, and let me summarize his summary. So once more, the five concepts of real-world violence are no rules, multiple attackers, weaponry, grappling and ground fighting, and the primary need for mobility. And I want to end with an example of a real-life situation that Dr. Schneider provides in his summary. He had a student who he calls Kathy that attended his one-day women's self-defense class. And she said she seemed to want to be there. He said she seemed to want to be there, but wasn't an ideal candidate because she had poor coordination and didn't seem to get it. But Kathy pulled from inside of her enough aggression to fight through the scenario phase of the class, and she completed it. And about a week later, Dr. Schneider's office got a call from Kathy, and he said she sounded strange. And she explained she had been attacked the day before by two men, and she was sure they were going to rape and kill her. And she had remembered what she'd learned in Dr. Snyder's class and fought both attackers off and escaped. And they did break her jaw, which was why she sounded different. And she broke her hand when she struck out at them. But she survived, and she was very happy about that. And Dr. Schneider ends the story with, quote, there are many more success stories like Kathy's, but the lesson learned here is that a little bit of knowledge and preparation may be the critical success factor when your life depends on it, end quote. So we have just finished chapter two, titled Violence and Attack, What You Need to Know. So let's move on to Dr. Schneider's chapter three, Applied Awareness. So far, Dr. Schneider has laid down a framework of concepts for us to understand. And going forward, this new chapter on applied awareness, then the next, chapter four, titled Working Out What to Do, plus chapter five, titled Taking Action, are the brain and physical action part of the book. When we get to chapter six, that's titled Consequences and Aftermath, well, understanding chapters three, four, and five will go a long way to mitigating negative consequences. And I've said it before, I highly recommend this book. I've learned a lot from the Applied Awareness chapter, and I hope that you all did too. So stick with me the next few weeks as we plow through this material, all with the intent of honing our skills at recognizing threats. And if we can't avoid them, then understanding how to react to them. So chapter three, Applied Awareness, starts out by discussing focusing on prevention as the primary aim. And unless I branch off into examples from my personal experience, the information I'm sharing with you is from Dr. Schneider's book. And as always, either I'm providing direct quotes, which I'll tell you when I'm quoting, or I'm sharing his concepts. So I'm learning along with all of you. Dr. Schneider starts out reminding us that situations in which we personally would apply defensive strategies and directly counter a violent attack are, in his words, very low. But remember what we learned at the first of this book, which is bad things can happen to good people. And yes, bad things can happen to us. We want to maximize enjoyment in our life, be that traveling or just on an everyday basis. We do not want to feel impinging fear or be constantly concerned about what could go wrong. We want to know we have the confidence to properly assess safe and unsafe situations. We want to be confident that we will know when to change our behavior or activities to minimize the chances of something going wrong. And this is the chapter, and in this first section titled Focusing on Prevention as the Primary Plan, this is where we will learn how to become confident in preventing a bad situation from happening to us. Quote, any preventative approach or any incident minimizing strategy, that's the resilient approach, starts with a base understanding of what may happen and how likely it is to occur. Only then can we assess what our response may need to be should something negative actually occur. In terms of simplified risk management, we often refer to this shorthand as risk approach or risk process, as the idea of establishing context and determining likelihood and consequences, and then determining how to implement measures that would reduce the consequence and or likelihood to acceptable levels, unquote. So if we want to establish context and determine likelihood and consequences of an attack and determine how to implement effective measures to reduce our exposure, we need to understand context, or in simpler language, we need to understand what is normal and what is not normal. And Dr. Schneider tells us that from an awareness perspective, this is called baselining. Quote, the core idea of baselining is quite simply that if you do not have the basic context of what fits into your environment and you do not understand what is normal or what is not, then it will be very difficult to determine what is suspicious or out of the ordinary, unquote. If you cannot figure out what's suspicious or out of the ordinary in your surroundings, wherever you are at the time, then it is likely not going to, as Dr. Schneider notes, quote, focus on predicting, avoiding, and worst case, managing potentially dangerous situations, unquote. And I want to point out that Dr. Schneider uses the term focus a lot. And later in this chapter, he has some statistics on how long humans, at least in our type of society, can focus at the level we need to for proper assessment. And I'll give you a hint, it's not very long. And let me give you Dr. Schneider's sidebar here. Quote, the baseline of awareness is that critical understanding of how I need to act, behave, scan my environment, and be able to truly measure what may go wrong from a platform of real threat as opposed to inaccurate perceptions, unquote. And I think this is important, and I've been thinking about that ever since I read Dr. Schneider's thinking on this, the difference between real threat and inaccurate perceptions. What is real and what is an inaccurate perception? How do you tell those apart? And I'm repeating that because it isn't just in the context of this book and training that we need to be able to separate those two. Really, much of what we do all day long, we have to be mindful of real versus what might be our inaccurate perceptions. So this is good training for life. And getting back to Dr. Schneider's book, he writes that over the years, his firm has trained thousands of people from different cultural backgrounds in concepts of awareness and observation. To be aware and to observe gives us situational awareness. So that's where that comes from, situational awareness. We have to understand what we're looking for and learn how to integrate that information into our natural process without being paranoid or panicking or being in fear. Quote, once this is achieved, you are able to go about your everyday life knowing that you've primed your senses and honed your subconscious to focus on the issues that may cause you harm. Intuitively, you should be able to identify and measure things that are real versus those that are perceived. And we're going to stop here and go to our last break. I'll finish this up around the corner.
Spring is springing, and that means it's topper time. Get your truck ready for your crazy Alaskan adventures with a new Lear or ARE topper from Auto Trim Design. You can get cab high, high-rise, mid-rise, commercial, aluminum, or fiberglass. Want a tonneau cover? We have fiberglass, fabric, and aluminum. We have them in roll-up or fold-up in three-fold or four-fold. Just don't delay and see us today at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
And don't forget, as we always say, we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Going camping is like visiting an old friend. There's always some new thing to experience. There's a sense of adventure that tickles your imagination, yet there's something so comfortably familiar. The smell of the crackling campfire, as sipping that first steaming cup of coffee fresh from the percolator, as you lounge in your favorite camp chair. Breathe the free air and dewdrop silence of the early morning stillness. Going camping. It's dependably familiar, always surprising. Gear up and go with Frontier Outfitters for your Alaskan lifestyle.
Weather this hour brought to you by Long Building Technologies. Call Long today to find out about a UV filtration and ionization system that will help reduce sick days in your workplace. 561-3044 or find out more at long.com.
KFAR Weather.
Chance for scattered thunderstorms today, otherwise overcast. High temperatures reach up to 76, east winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Overcast skies tonight, scattered thunderstorms likely, lows dip down to about 52. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow, isolated rain showers likely, daytime highs approaching 60. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, back to Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. Streaming live at KFARradio.com.
This is Shooter's Corner with Laura Berkowitz, KFAR Radio. Please call in at 458-8255, 458-TALK, and let us know what's on your mind about firearms today. Before I get back to what I was talking about, I just want to take a minute to talk about the Cowboys, the Golden Heart Shooter Society. August 13th, which is a Saturday this time, August 13th at the Fox Range, they're going to have one of their regular shooting events, about 1 to 1:30, register, 2 o'clock, shots go down range. But this weekend, August 6th to 7th, they're having a special event at the Fox Range. It's a joint event between the Golden Heart Shooter Society and I think it's the Alaska 49ers. It's another cowboy shooting group in southern Alaska. And Ranger McChilly, see, if you come to these events, you get to meet all these people with these cool names. Ranger McChilly says to join them in this festival of throwing lead. So come and watch or participate in some fun Alaska cowboy shooting this weekend at the Fox Range. For more information, call Barlow, who is Don, 907-378-7788, or Montana Kid, who is Neil, 907-978-2296. All right, and maybe we'll see you there. So when right before break, I want to summarize what I was talking about here. In summary, we need to know what can actually cause harm as opposed to what we think may cause harm. What is actual and what is perceived? And we need to work on that. And again, we have to isolate those, real as opposed to perceived. Now, Dr. Schneider asks us if we have ever sat around discussing what is really dangerous and could really cause harm to us in our daily lives. And he says we humans are not very good at risk management. Think about it. What is our risk management. What is your risk management? We're talking about personal protection here, but our risk management includes, personally, our risk management should include not smoking, not speeding, not drinking while driving, eating healthier foods. It includes lots of things. So there is a lot lower risk of being attacked or having to use a firearm or having someone point a firearm at you than there is with some of the risks I just mentioned. And here's a rather long quote. The truth is, the core risks we face are often health-driven risks, and as such, our awareness of our own health and body are critical aspects for well-being. While we may sometimes be paranoid because of media exposure to crime and violence, along with the thought of being in the wrong place at the wrong time when a terrorist attacks, we should really and truly look at our awareness or levels of acceptance as a holistic approach in terms of how we could lead healthier, safer, and less stressed lives, unquote. Now, before I go on with Dr. Schneider's concept here, and before any of us dismiss this holistic approach, let me weave in some information from another excellent book. And this other book is by Gavin DeBecker, who wrote The Gift of Fear, which I often refer to. And this other book by Gavin DeBecker is titled Just 2 Seconds, Using Time and Space to Defeat Assassins and Other Adversaries with a Compendium of Attacks Against At-Risk Persons. That book is 681 pages long. Now, the context of Just 2 Seconds has to do with, and let me quote, the extensive study undertaken for this book has produced many insights, the most striking of which is also the simplest. From the moment of commitment onward, the overwhelming majority of public figure attacks are over in less than 5 seconds. Within just those few seconds, all the damage that will be done has been done, unquote. But there's more. Quote, the 5-second statistic could be discouraging to protectors because it grants them very little time to respond effectively. However, embedded within that 5-second statistic is one of the most encouraging lessons we learned. Attackers are even more handicapped by the speeding clock than are the protectors, unquote. And I'll review parts of that book in the future. I'll bet many of us watched the July 8th footage. I think it was Shinzo Abe, a former prime minister of Japan and a member of the Japanese House of Representatives, being assassinated as he spoke at a political event in Japan. Where was the assailant standing? How long did it take for 2 shots to be fired? How long did it take for the Japanese security to tackle the shooter? When Gavin DeBecker's firm hires protectors for his clients, he has stringent rules. And his rules started out with strict no-smoking rules for the men and women who are assigned protective roles. Not only can they not smoke on the job, they cannot smoke any other time in their private lives, or they will not continue to be employed by Gavin DeBecker's firm. And there's more to the story, but this is how it ties in to what Dr. Schneider is telling us about a holistic approach to personal safety and risk management. So here's a quote from DeBecker's Just 2 Seconds. When people asked if I was trying to control the off-duty lives of our associates, I replied yes, and not just trying. I was ensuring it through testing. There are many policies and requirements that influence the off-duty behavior of professionals, unquote. And he goes on, but I'm going to skip a bit. Remember, you and I, are our own personal protection professionals, and that's why I'm telling you all of this. Quote, imagine you owned a race car. You certainly wouldn't let someone pour anything in the fuel tank that would detract from peak engine performance. Now carry that to a biological example. Imagine you own a champion racehorse. You wouldn't give it nicotine. People crave ingestibles, other than nicotine, of course, depending on a protector's habits, addictions, metabolism, nutrition, and peace of mind. He might crave sugar, coffee, chocolate, or even food itself. It's obvious that to do their best work, protectors must be in excellent physical condition. So obvious that it's taken for granted that serious protectors will be in excellent physical condition. However, a person can appear to be in excellent physical condition and yet still be a slave to cravings. So the concepts, and I'm still in this quote, the concepts we're about to explore might well be the most important in protective work, and they will require a willingness to condition the mind through practice, unquote. And again, remember, we are our own professional protectors. Now, there's more, and I'm still talking about Gavin DeBecker's book here. Quote, among other things, this means avoiding the trampoline-like effect of cravings. Sugar is the prime example of something that provides a bounce, a brief moment that feels like flight, and then a rapid and weighty descent to the canvas. And then what feels like low energy, followed by the belief that sugar is needed again to keep going. We said what feels like low energy because, in fact, you have all the energy you need, Snickers bars or no Snickers bars, unquote. Now, DeBecker goes on about this for some pages, and it should all be interesting to the sheepdogs, the protectors, that's us. To sum it up, if you're craving something, then you are not concentrating on the job at hand. And this will make you less effective, if not ineffective, at your job. So getting back to Dr. Schneider's thoughts, our job is being situationally aware and concentrating on real threats in our environment, ever ready to avoid or react to them. Now, DeBecker, in his book, Just 2 Seconds, explains his security professionals have schedules with built-in times to eat nutritious foods that do not inspire cravings. So depending on their detail assignment, if those foods are not available, they must bring them along. Quote, this isn't a book about nutrition, of course, and all we're intending here is to give you the goal to be free of craving because it undermines a protector's ability to be present for the mission, unquote. And I think all of us are aware of whether we're keeping ourselves healthy or not. We make those decisions. But before reading Dr. Schneider's book and his referral to Gavin DeBecker's writing, I had not thought much about how important it is for protectors to eat properly in order to maintain our ability to be alert. I'm much more aware of that now. And the takeaway from both Gavin DeBecker and Dr. Gav Schneider is that we need to take a holistic approach to our self-protection responsibilities, which includes risk management. And risk management includes keeping ourselves healthy, not taking risks with our health. And by doing that, we have under control critical aspects of our own well-being. And we talked about this some weeks ago that Dr. Schneider believes from experience, quote, in terms of crime, violence, and exposure to terrorism or fraudulent activities, roughly 90% of all those activities are avoidable, unquote. And of course, you have to do some work to avoid these things. Dr. Schneider asks if you are willing to do the work to be able to predict the harmful event. You can do the work to think in the worst case scenarios. Can you plan? Can you train? Can you program your reactions to what you think might happen? And Dr. Schneider tells us most people are not willing to do that. They won't spend the time to do that. And in the mind of the average person, those elements of protection get delegated to the peace officers. Now, we do in our country have capable law enforcement agencies, but it is known logistics. They can't be everywhere an incident happens, and it takes time for them to arrive. We have to cultivate the confidence that we can take care of those threats ourselves. We have to know how to make ourselves an unattractive target. Now, Dr. Schneider writes, and I'm sure you will agree with this goal, the baseline of awareness is that critical understanding of how I need to act, behave, scan my environment, and be able to truly measure what may go wrong from a platform of real threat as opposed to inaccurate perceptions. Once we're able to achieve that level of habitual behavior and focus on what truly may cause harm or what truly is suspicious or out of the ordinary, as opposed to what we perceive were better able to deal with it, unquote. So next week, we will talk about intuition, the starting point of proactive awareness. And I was interested to learn how close Dr. Schneider's concepts of intuition are to Gavin De Becker's teaching on intuition. And we've talked about those, gosh, it was probably last year. So we'll pull all that together. We'll talk about what Dr. Schneider tells us about learning to raise and lower our awareness levels. And this has to do with focus and the fact that we humans really can't or don't focus with intense concentration for long periods of time. And if we get to it, I'll discuss Dr. Schneider's idea of what he calls the 3PC. It's a system. It's using that system will help us decide whether the environment we're in is safe based on our surroundings, the people around us, and what is happening at that instant in time. So use all the information you learned today. Stay safe so you can join us next week on Shooter's Corner.
This has been Shooter's Corner on KFAR Radio. Brought to you by Rogers Auto Repair, Arctic RV, Auto Trim Design, and Frontier Outfitters. To listen back to this or past episodes of Shooter's Corner, go to KFARradio.com and click on the archives page. For more Shooter's Corner on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.